Put your hands together as Pastor Paula comes to take the message tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Rise to your feet, everybody. Let's make a declaration to our God tonight. Thank you. I stand amazed in your presence. There is nothing you cannot do. If you stand amazed, lift your voice.
I stand amazed in your presence.
There is joy, peace, and hope.
There is joy, peace, and hope.
See, I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in your presence.
Tell him there's nothing you cannot do. Amazing God that does amazing things. Lord, we are set to receive the amazing things you have in stock for us. We trust in you. Our heart is set upon you because there are things that no man can do, no woman can do, that you will do for us this month, because we trust in the word that you have sent to us. We trust in the message you've sent to us. We trust in the vehicle that you have used to pass the message across. We are grateful, oh God, that you count us worthy to receive a word of promise from you. We give you thanks, we give you glory, we give you praise. There is no one like you. You are a wonderful God. And we give you thanks in this season of wonder and this month of amazing things. In Jesus' precious name we've prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we've prayed.
Amen.
If you are standing amazed in his presence, put your beautiful hands together for the Lord this evening. He's a glorious God. Awesome is his name. Hallelujah. Take your seat. Thank you, Inspire. God bless you. Turn your Bibles with me to the scripture of the month, Joshua chapter 3. Is the scripture of the month. If you haven't been here between Sunday and now, you wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. So on Trumpet Night on Monday, Pastor gave us a word for the month. And it's in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And I've been meditating on that word since Monday, and God has been opening my eyes to see a few things, and I'm going to teach you out of the few things that I've learned. And there's much more to come because we're just on the fifth day or thereabout of the month, isn't it? Is it the sixth? It's the fifth day. It's only the fifth day of the month. So we have a long way to go this month. But listen to what God sent to us as a word this month. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Another version says, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things amongst you. And the Lord impressed upon my heart to share a word with you tonight that I will titled, How to Receive Your Amazing Thing. How to Receive Your Amazing Thing. We've had quite a number of testimonies already this month. They've been mind-blowing. Some of them, you just know that it could only have been God that did them. So I'm grateful to God because He has started. We have started seeing amazing things in our lives. I don't know about you, but I expect that you will have a testimony by the end of this month, that you will see amazing things as well in the name of Jesus. So I guess the question then is, how do I receive my own amazing thing? Because you really don't want to know how somebody else receives their own. You want to know how you will receive your own. That's why we are here. And I wanted to explain a little bit to us from that scripture, teach us quite a number of scriptures. So you're going to have to get your pen and paper. It's like Bible study again. So all things being equal, you'll go home, read all the scriptures, because we won't be able to read all the scriptures that I'm going to refer to tonight. All right. I've come to realize in my little walk with God that when a prophetic word comes, there are two major things that you require to catch it. Two major things. The first one is expectation, and the second one is preparation. Expectation and preparation. Every time God sends a word, the first thing, if you look at the word expectation, you expect the word to happen. Why do you expect the word to happen? Number one, because the promise has come from God. So you know that God is capable and is able to fulfill the promise He gives. So He has the capacity to do what He says He's going to do. So you believe. You have seen it before in many people's lives. You have heard it in testimonies around. You have seen it in your life to some extent as well. So because of that, we believe. So we expect because the promise has come. The second reason why we expect, because it's a prophetic word. Pastor could not have explained it better than he explained it on Trumpet Night when he talked about people. He called a few people forward and he said, if you have positioned yourself to receive God's word that God sent through the prophet and you got the benefits of it, come forward. And they came forward and people mentioned different messages or testimonies that they keyed into and experienced God. So that comes from understanding and believing the prophetic word. Pastor mentioned the fact that a vessel you do not believe in, a vessel you do not trust, you cannot receive from. So when it comes to prophetic word, in my mind, I do not underestimate the vessel that God is sending to me. So that vessel God is sending is not my husband. He is my pastor. He is not my mate. He is the vessel God wants to use to bless me. So I don't see him that way. I see him as my prophet. So because I position myself to receive from my prophet, guess what God does? He releases his blessing to me. So expectation. Expectation from the promise of God. Expectation from the prophets of God. Another thing is when you expect, you position yourself to receive. You know the man by the beautiful gate? The Bible says that he expects to receive. And then he looked up. So Peter said, look at us. So there's a positioning required. If you really want to receive something, there is a way you position yourself. I cannot say, Pastor G, take this pen. If she doesn't stretch her hand, she doesn't get it. But she needs a position. She needs to stretch her hand to receive. All of this comes in expectation. But interestingly, I'm not talking about expectation tonight. I'm talking about the other bit, which is preparation. Because there are two things we need. We need to expect. We also need to prepare. In preparation, in order to receive amazing things this month, we need to prepare for it. The children of Israel were going to go from one point to the other. They were going to go from the desert life that they've lived all their lives. And they were going to move into the place of promise that God had given them. And God said to them, sanctify yourself or prepare yourself. Because tomorrow I'm going to do great things amongst you. So if you're not prepared, you can't receive. If you're not prepared, if you're not sanctified, if you're not prepared for God, you cannot receive. And let us talk about this bunch of people. The Bible made us understand that the people that had unbelief, God had destroyed in the wilderness. So they were not the people that lacked faith. They were people of faith. They were people that believed. Because if you read the book of Hebrews, I think even if you read verse 4, He says that, so there had been, if you read from the beginning of that chapter, the people that did not believe God prior to getting to the promised land, if you remember, God said, everyone that is in unbelief, I'm going to destroy in the wilderness. So the people that are going in now are people that believe. So they look like you and I, changing position from what we've known before into what we need to get into. And yet, despite the fact that they had enough faith to believe that God is going to give them the promised land, they can see it, God is still saying they need to prepare to receive it. And he says to them, in that preparation, he said to them that prepare yourself or sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do great things amongst you. I want to talk to you about the word sanctification. Sounds massive, sounds big, sounds scary. When I was a younger believer, I used to hate the word with a passion because the word just freaked me out. The definition of the word within the bunch of people that I was hanging around was really scary. You just think, you know, I can't get here. But I just want to simplify it for us tonight, because you can read the word sanctify yourself and think, for the life of me, what exactly does that mean? How do I sanctify myself? What exactly do we need to do? And that's what we want to talk about this evening. And God is constantly, is always saying sanctify yourself. Every time he wants to visit his people and bless them, he tells them sanctify yourself. So not long after they got into the promised land, in the book of Joshua chapter 7 verse 13, they went into a battle. They thought they were going to win. They were good enough for it. It's like going for an interview and thinking, there's no way I'm not going to get this job. I've got more experience. I know better than everybody, and so on and so forth. I've got all the years. They need only 3 years experience. I've got 7. They need only this qualification. I have more. And all of these things, and you look at yourself and you think, there is no way I'm not going to win this particular. In fact, I don't need to pray about this one because I'm so good. And then they went into this battle that they think is small and they are familiar with, and they lost. So going to a job that is beneath you and still not being able to get that job. So it took them aback. They were shocked. Why did they not get what they expected to get? God has given them the whole promised land anyway. Why should they be losing any battle in the place that God has given them? And the Bible made us understand, because a gentleman was in the midst of the camp and he had some sin in his life, and that sin was affecting the whole of the camp, and the whole of the camp was losing because of one man's sin. And the Bible made us understand, God said to them, sanctify yourself. In the book of Joshua chapter 7 verse 13, God wanted to visit and give them victory. And he said, listen, there are some things you've gotten yourself into that is not going to give you this victory you think should be cheap victory, so sanctify yourself. Try all over again, because God is going to visit you. There's an accosting in the midst. Sanctify yourself for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord of hosts, there's an accosting in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the things that are not right from amongst you. That's God speaking to them. So every time God wants to give us victory, he tells us, look at yourself, clean yourself up, because I'm ready to walk with you. And that's what God is saying to us tonight. Another time, when God wanted to return the Ark of Covenants, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12, things happened, the Ark was taken away, and the Ark is the presence of God, or it means the presence of God, typifies the presence of God. When God's presence was going to come back into the midst of his people, the Bible made us understand that he said, sanctify yourself. My presence can't come here unless you sanctify yourself. So when you need victory, you need to be sanctified. When you need God's presence, you need to be sanctified. When you need a miracle, you need to be sanctified. That's what God is saying. When you need to move levels into things that you have not seen before, the things that have been promised to you, you have come all this way and you are on the verge of getting there, it's time for sanctification. It's time for sanctification. So what exactly does this massive word mean? Because it's definitely what describing what it means. It's just basically setting ourselves apart for God. That is the basic of it. Setting ourselves apart for God. It was described like this: a process of God's grace in the life of a believer that helps us separate ourselves from sin and become dedicated to God's righteousness. Separating ourselves from sin and become dedicated to God's righteousness. So anyone that will be separated unto God is somebody that is set apart for God. If you and I want God's visitation this month, he has promised. We know he's able, we know he's capable. He says, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow I will do great things amongst you. We know that second phrase must happen, because that is God. but it is dependent on the first phrase, sanctify yourself. That is the little thing that we have to do to experience the big thing that God is set to do. And unless we give attention to it and know what it means and how to do it, we might miss out on the whole purpose of everything God wants to do in our lives this month. For some of us, one of the things I discovered, there are three, you know, when you're talking about sanctifications, there are three stages or steps. And that's one of the things I learned when I was a younger believer. And then when Pastor mentioned it again on the first of the month, I went back to go and look at it again. When we get born again, we're sanctified in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11, Acts chapter 26 verse 18, we are sanctified in Christ. Let's read Acts chapter 26. Acts 26:18. The Bible says, and I read, to open their eyes in order to turn them from their darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. We are those who are sanctified by faith in God. So the day you and I gave our lives to Christ, we have been sanctified by faith. We are set apart for him. That's what it means. So you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So in Christ, you're already righteous. So there's one level. Then there's the other level, which is something we do on a daily basis. We keep living our lives daily in line with God. And that is in the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, which says that we should present ourselves as living sacrifice unto the Lord, holy and acceptable to him, which is our reasonable service. That is, as the one that have been set apart for Jesus, live your life on a daily basis as such. That's just all that scripture is saying. So now that you have been set apart, we're waiting for heaven, we're not there yet. While we live here or not, we have a responsibility to live our lives in such a way that is set apart for Jesus. And the third one is to we will be sanctified when we meet with Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, 3 verses 2 to 3. And it talks about we will be made whole completely when we meet with Christ. When we die, when we go to heaven, when rapture comes. So, since you and I cannot walk on the first one, is already done. We can't walk on the last one, we're not dead yet. We have a job to do. When it tells us in today's sense to sanctify ourselves, it is the daily preparation for the visitation of the Lord. So, let me explain something to you. So, I've said to you now that I want to come and visit with you. It doesn't matter how much you have not cleaned your house because you have been very, very busy. Because you know I am likely to come to your home and eat in your kitchen. And if you know me well enough, if your microwave is dirty, I can never eat from your microwave. It's not possible. So because you know Pastor is coming, guess what you do? You clean the house. Our home is a bit interesting, the setting. So we live downstairs, our children live upstairs. I barely ever go upstairs. But I notice a lot of running around whenever Pastor says, I am coming upstairs now. There's a lot of running around and clearing and cleaning because upstairs have been a mess. Each person's room have been a mess. And simply because someone is coming to visit, to take a look at it, to spend time there, they are rushing to clean up. And God is saying, I want to visit you. And I don't visit without bringing my goodies. So because I want to visit you, clean up. That is the point. The visitation of God and the great things God is going to do in our lives this month has a lot to do with us sanctifying ourselves. That's the preparation you and I need this month. When you clean up, God visits and dwells. Because the Spirit of God cannot dwell in a place that is not clean. That automatically means God cannot be present there. So ages ago, I used to have a particular car. And everything was in that car. The car was a mess. You know, it just was a mess. I don't throw things outside of my window. So if I eat something, I don't throw things outside of my, I don't drive and throw things out. Actually, that's an abomination. So I thought, oh, let's leave it in the car. Waste paper, I'm not reading. So sometimes when somebody is driving me, maybe Pastor Ed is driving me, and I'm reading, trying to catch up on some work, reading the document, okay, I don't need this anymore. Squash it, put it in the car. One day I said to myself, I say, God visits me in this car. God talks to me in this car. It cannot dwell here. This is dirty. That day I made up my mind that I wasn't going to have a filthy car anymore. I mean, not that my car is great right now. Don't come into it. But you understand what I mean. Because of the person you are expecting to visit you, you clean some things up. Not necessarily because they are very... Sometimes it's not because they are that bad. And God is saying to us that he wants to visit us. The Greek word actually means separation or setting apart. Set this apart. Set things apart because the Lord is about to visit you. So this month, how do we sanctify ourselves? Because that is very important. How do we do it? Turn your Bibles with me to the book of John chapter 17, verse 17. That is the crux of it. How do I sanctify myself? How do I make myself clean? How do I ensure I enjoy the amazing thing God is about to do in my life this month? John 17, 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. God's word is the vehicle of our sanctification. You see, sanctification is not by claiming to be righteous. It is by allowing God's word to penetrate our hearts and our lives so much that it changes us and makes us who God wants us to be. God's word is what we do the sanctification this month. So if God's word we do the sanctification, that automatically means that you and I need to spend more time in God's word. So how does God's word sanctify us? The Bible made us understand, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 16, the first thing is that God's word wins us away from all the bad things, negative desires, all the things that are not of God that we desire to do. The more we spend time with God, the more they get away. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 16, Jeremiah 15, 16, it talks about the desire to take God's word. It says, and as we take it, okay, let's read it because they have not pulled it up. Jeremiah 15, 16. Are you going to pull it up or shall I open? 15, 16. Okay, I think I'm there. The Bible says, your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Your words were found, and I ate them. And they gave me joy. They gave me righteousness because I am called by your name. Because I am called by your name. If God's word is going to win us of things that are not of God, we need to know it enough so that negative desires start falling away from us. The more time you spend with God's word, the more you know the right from the wrong, the more you begin to be more like that. The Bible says, as we behold him in a mirror, we're changed from glory to glory. So for instance, you've come to this service tonight, you will hear this message. Believe it or not, a time will come that you will want to do something and this message will pop back into your heart and say, no, I can't do this because I'm sanctified. Because Jesus' blood has worked for me. Why? Because you've heard this word. Even though you think, oh no, but I keep reading the same thing and I can't see. No, actually, as you read it and keep on reading it, it begins to change the course of your life and your direction. Somebody, I was listening to a particular tape and he was talking about little changes that make massive difference in our lives. And this gentleman was saying that if a plane takes off from one place, say for the sake of argument, he actually used somewhere, he used America. He said if a plane takes off in California going to New York and it just changes direction by only 1 degree, it will never end in New York. It will end in a totally different place. Just 1 degree. The more of God's word we take into our spirit, the more that word is changing our direction from what our flesh desires into what our spirit wants to rule. Because God's word is spirit. The more of God's word you hear, the more your life starts changing because God's word has a way of permeating our spirit. So every time you find yourself doing what you're not meant to do, God's word is not enough. Every time you find yourself angry and, you know, the anger still there and the sun has gone down, that means the word of God has not permeated enough in that area. And you know one thing? In this month in particular, when God wants you to sanctify yourself so he visits you, things will come that will test God's words that is in you. So my advice to you is, saturate yourself in the word of God. Saturate yourself in the word of God. You get upset and you say what you feel like saying. When God's word is full inside of you, he wins you from your tongue saying what it feels like saying. Your flesh will not take over your spirit because God's word is present. God's word is spirit. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is true. God's word is true. God's word gives us warnings. If you read the book of Romans chapter 12 from 9, verses 9 through to verse 12. Another reason why God's word sanctifies and changes us because it gives us warnings. I am yet to see a child that will know a clear-cut warning, a child of God, and they will still fall into it. Okay, sometimes it's because, bad habit that is permitted. The problem of bad habit is you permit it after a while, your senses get dull, so you don't feel that conscience, that thing that says, don't do that, that is wrong. It goes away, and before you know, it becomes a character flaw, and then it becomes part of your life. And I always say to people, there are some things you're better off not starting, because when you start them, to stop them is a nightmare. I was listening to the radio today, and I usually listen to the Five Life news, something like that. And there is in the news at the moment, there's this debate about electronic cigarette versus real cigarette. And then they brought this professor from Queen Mary University, and the man said, people that take, so they were saying that some organization have been putting bubble gum and something along that popcorn taste or flavor into electronic cigarettes. So the argument was, who takes popcorn? Who takes bubble gums? Children. So why would you want to flavor? If you're saying we are trying to move people away from smoking, why are you flavoring it in such a way that you will get children interested in it? So the argument was not that they are as bad as the real one. And then the professor then said, well, what we're saying here now, we're comparing something with another. We're comparing electronic with real cigarettes and saying which one is worse. We're not comparing electronic with nothing. So while they continue that argument, somebody then said something. Said it's been proven that any youth that tries to smoke at a particular age has a 60% chance of being hooked on smoking for life. There are some things that are not worth trying, is the baseline of everything I'm saying. 60% chance just by attempting. So there are some things that it's very difficult to break some habits, so you're better off not starting them. I want to implore you, this is a month that you need to sit down and sanctify yourself, because the cost of not sanctifying yourself is too much. God wants to visit you. God wants to do amazing things for you. God wants to give you a testimony. He wants to move you from the wilderness into your promised land. Why wouldn't you want to go? Why wouldn't you want to go? Why would you want to be left in the wilderness? The door to your promised land has been opened to you. God's word is big enough to give us warnings. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17. Go and read that when you get home. Another thing God's word does for us, it helps us wrestle. Because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So some things are spiritual. Ephesians chapter 6 from verses 10 to 17. And it talked about all the things that we wrestle against. And it says that God's word will enable us to wrestle. There are some things you need to wrestle against them. Why? Because they are ingrained habits. There are things that have been in us in a long, long time. Some of us can't sleep for the kingdom. So whenever you want to pray, sleep just catches you awares and unaware. I know a brother is a good friend of ours. He can sleep standing without exaggeration. And he says his problem is sleep. For some people, their problem is lies. For whatever reason, they've always lied all their lives. Now they've grown up, they got born again. They can't shift, they can't drop it. It has become a part of their lives. A lady was talking to me. She said the gentleman was interested in her. And I said, why are you not considering him? He said, because he can lie. I said, how? He said, pointless lies. I said, what do you mean? He said, some of the lies do not even make sense. So this is here now. No consequence to it being here. She went to the bathroom. By the time she comes back, he's been moved here. You moved this? No, I didn't. He doesn't even know he's lying anymore. But you moved this from here to here. It doesn't matter. And he'll say he didn't do it. It's only you that is here. Nobody else is here. But he's so used to lying that has become a part of. That is a stronghold. And that requires wrestling. And that's one of the things that the word of God help us do. The word of God help us break things that are ingrained habits. It helps us wrestle It helps us sanctify ourselves. The more you dwell in the word, the more power you have to be able to overcome some things. God's word is more powerful than we think it is. It's because we haven't given it enough focus. We try to be good by ourselves. You cannot be good by yourself. That's where I'm going with all of this message. If you get no summary out of this, the summary is sanctify yourself by walking in the word of God. That is the summary of the message today, because God wants to visit you. The word of God will help us wrestle against things that can hold us back. Sometimes it's not even that bad. It could be our flesh that is holding us back from getting into where God wants us to. I was reading, God was ministering to me about some things that they reflect in other areas, but their character flaws. Pride. He said, the pride is the reason why you think you are bigger than what has happened to you. Pride is the reason why some of us do not share Christ. How are they going to see me? How are they going to see me if they say no? Pride is the reason why some of us do or not do, say or not say some things. And God is saying the pride of the flesh or the pride of life is not going to take us anywhere. Those are part of the things we need to drop. But God's word is what will help us drop that. God's word gives us grace to be humble. Where it doesn't really matter where you are coming from. It doesn't matter whether you're better than anybody, because at the end of the day, when we get to heaven, it's never about where we think we are coming from. Your spirit will not be bigger than my spirit because your father is richer than my father. It doesn't work that way. Because he went to a public school and I went to a private one. It does not work that way. There is no class when it comes to the spirit and we get to heaven. So let's drop the things that make us stay in coma. My mentor once says, many of us say that we are dead to the flesh, but we're not dead. So she was saying to me one day, she was telling me about Romans chapter 12. She said, many of us say we are at the altar, you know, as a living sacrifice. She said, sacrifices are meant to be dead. She said, but because we are not dead, we're in coma. So we lie down on the altar, and I could see the picture, until somebody offends your flesh. Then you rise up. And then the angels are saying, but you're a living sacrifice. I said, no, let me go and deal with that person, and then I'll come back and be a sacrifice again. Don't do that. Don't do that. Allow the word of God permeate your spirit so much to change your person. Let people know that you have changed because you dwell in the word. Do you know that? The thing that makes us change is the spirit of God and the word of God in us. If people that have not seen you 10 years ago see you now and they say you're exactly the same, you should be scared for yourself. You should be worried. They should say, wow, you didn't used to talk like this. Wow, you've changed. This Christianity has changed you. A lady was saying to me how much she has changed. She said she used to be very angry. And she can keep malice for the nation. You know, that kind of person that, you know, you are in their company, you are in serious trouble. If you step on their feet, she said she would keep malice. She said she was a believer, supposedly. I want to believe that it's because she has not grown enough. So God's word has not permeated enough. She said she would sit in her office. She was the only believer in that office. She said that she can keep malice for a whole month. She said, when she now started getting herself into the place of praying more and studying God's word more and seeing that that's different, even people at work said, what happened to you? Because they are not used to that behavior. She said she could go on keeping malice with her siblings for 3 months and she was praying. How does that work? Because even the Bible says that when you bring your offering and you know that somebody has offended, not you offending that person, you should still go and release them and then come back before you bring that offering. Otherwise, the offering is not accepted. Have I told you one of my siblings' story before? When my sibling said somebody cheated her brother-in-law. So she was on her way. So my sibling sent a WhatsApp. She was supposedly sending it to one of my other siblings. So if I mention our twin now, you know who I'm talking about. So to our twin, I've said it. So she was sending it to our twin, and she said something along the lines of, when I took my offering forward, I gave him the evil eye. So mistakenly it came to me. God wanted me to help her deal with the issue. So I sent her BB, I said, so what exactly does that mean? She said, no, Stamani, not for you. It's for my, so she mentioned it's for her twin sister. I said, yes, but God has made me see. So what happened? And you better go and collect the offering back from church because God did not accept it. So she now said somebody cheated the brother-in-law, took money, and the person is the leader in the church and he was still sitting in front. So apparently in this church, when they take the offering, forward to go and put it on the altar, and then she gave him the evil eye in front and she believed that God has accepted that offering. Brethren, God is not man. And God does not need those type of offerings. God is not man. He doesn't need that kind of behavior. So I had to teach her. Now, she is supposedly a Sunday school teacher as well. What is she teaching those children? She's a mom. What is she teaching her own? She's a wife. She's a leader in her workplace. Do you see everything I'm saying? God's word needs to permeate our spirit enough that it will kill our flesh, that there are no evil eyes in the church, or evil tongue, or evil behavior one to the other, or malice, because God's word can help us deal with that. God's words help us walk in righteousness. Psalm 119 verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When God's word fills our heart, we will walk rightly. When we walk correctly or rightly, we'll be sanctified. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is true. Sanctify them. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. There is no point setting a lamp and walking another path. The point of a lamp, because at that time, at that period, people travel long distance and they tend to tie their lamp to their feet. They physically tie the lamp to the feet so they can see where they're going. Now, they might not be able to see too far off, but they can see their immediate next step that they have to take, because they take those steps in faith, knowing that they're going on the right path and they're not walking on danger. And that's what God's word is to us. But that would only happen if we choose to follow the light that the lamp is giving us. If we choose to walk in another path, we have made a wrong choice. Visitation of God will be limited, if it happens at all. By his mercy, sometimes God looks at a household and says, I'm pouring my blessing upon this household. Because you're there, you can benefit from it. But the truth of the matter is, there's much more that God will have released to you if you have followed his word and his ways. So, walking in the spirit as well. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 and verse 17. It talks about, as we walk in the spirit, we are sanctified. We walk in the spirit. You walk right, and God helps you to live your life right. These are the things that God's word does in our lives. You cannot walk in the spirit by your flesh. It doesn't work that way. You can wake up in the morning and say, today, nobody is going to upset me. You know, from the moment you step out of your room, your child starts doing something really, really naughty that will upset you. So you need to choose to dwell in the spirit. And the truth of the matter is, dwelling in the spirit and dwelling in the word of God, it's a choice. It's not a feeling. It is not a feeling. Living right is not convenient. Living right is not a feeling. So tonight I want to say to you, because of the cost of living wrongly, which is missing out on God's amazing things and visitation, it's time to live the way he wants us to live. The Bible made us understand. What do we do now? Because I always say every good message has three things. What? So what? Now what? What is, God wants to visit you and he wants you to sanctify yourself. So what? So what is John chapter 17 verse 17. You can sanctify yourself by God's word or God's truth. Now what? What do you do? Moving on from here. The very, very first thing in my mind for us to do is, now that we have the salvation of God inside of us, we should walk it out. Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 to 13. Walk out. Walk out. What God has done for us is inside. It takes effort to walk it out. It takes effort to say the right things. It takes effort to live the right way. It takes a lot of effort. Actually, it takes a lot of decision. It's a choice you make, but you stick with your choice. Through thick and thin. Whether it's convenient or it's not convenient, because you want God's visitation. Let me tell you something. You're not doing it for anybody. You're not doing it for any man or any woman. You know, when we serve the Lord, I say nobody is saying thank you. God said to me one day, I said, do you ever say thank you twice for the same thing? I mean, apart from those of us that come from where I come from, where we say thank you for yesterday and thank you for today. We say thank you only once for something. God says, when man says thank you to you, I am not saying thank you. So forget about doing things because men need to approve of it. Do things because you want to live a life that is sanctified to the Lord. Walk out what God has already worked inside you. Set apart what God has set apart. Set apart your body. Set apart your home. Set apart your money, because God has set it apart. You are the sanctified one. Why would the sanctified one make their money corrupt? Because you are making your money corrupt if you don't pay your tithe. Because the Bible says so. So if I am set apart, then let me live like one that is set apart. And if I'm not set apart, let me not live like one that is set apart. You know, I always say to people, I say in every area, be it in your time, in your talent, in your tithe, in your offering, make sure you live your life like one that is truly, genuinely set apart. Every time we're looking at we do a summary of our expenses, I say to myself, how much of my money is going to God? What percentage? And what percentage is going to entertainment? There was a time I just sat down, I looked at it. We don't even work for Sky. What is the problem? Because Sky this, you got Sky that, you got telephone. So we have one column for all things entertainment and communication. You would think that we have shares in some of those companies. When you look at the percentage compared to everything else, and you ask yourself the question, to what end? To what end? I want you to take time out and take stock. Take stock of your time. What time are you spending? Are you spending it in God's word? God's word, if you're not a reader, you can be a listener. Just keep on listening to it in your words, in your all the things that we have to listen to them. We have so many things. Pastor is always saying, he said, God will judge this generation because we have way too much. God's word is at your fingertip anywhere, anyhow. Anywhere, anyhow. The other day, I left my Bible in the church office. And overnight, and I missed it because I'm used to having a physical Bible. But I got three different versions on my iPad, three different versions on my phone. What is my excuse? In the past, say, I left my Bible in the fellowship. That's why I've not read it. But what's our excuse now? Why won't you read the Word of God? If you're not a reader, why won't you listen to the Word of God? If you're not a listener, why won't you tell somebody, just keep on telling you about God's word? Maybe you can't listen to it yourself. Why won't you share God's word with somebody else? I want to say to you that God wants to visit you, but there's a condition. The condition is set yourself apart. You are a special tool before God. You know, one of the things I discovered is in the book of Leviticus and in the book of Numbers, the priests are set apart for God. But the priests that are set apart for God, they don't just go into God's presence anyhow. They go into God's presence, haven't washed. They washed their physical body. They washed everything. They washed their hands. They washed so much. And sometimes you think, but what is that? It's just God saying to us that there are actions and things you need to put in place. Because every single day you go out and come in and you get polluted, whether you believe it or not. But the more time you spend in God's word, the more God's word is washing us and washing things that are not of Him, of us. I'll end with this particular story or this testimony. There's a particular lady that I knew ages and ages ago. She was struggling with a particular stronghold. It was a major stronghold. And you know, we prayed together. The stronghold was not breaking. We did everything possible. And one day, God said to me about how, I can't remember the exact scripture now, but it says something along the lines of, you shall know the truth. That's the scripture. And the truth shall set you free. When I saw that scripture, it just was like a normal scripture. I said to her, this is the scripture God dropped in my heart because we're fasting every week for this issue because it wasn't shifting. So she comes back and says, it's not shifted. I was a sister in a church. I wasn't a pastor or anything. So as I was fasting this particular way, I came across that scripture. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And God laid it in my heart that the day she knows the truth, not hear the truth, the day she knows the truth in her spirit, that truth has more than enough capacity to break every yoke and every chain. And I shared that scripture with her. She took it. She read it and read it and read it and kept meditating on it. Only one verse. It wasn't a lot. But within 3-4 weeks, that same stronghold she's had, for years before she shared it with me, for months after we've been praying about it together, God broke it. She said she did not even know that she has stopped. She's migrated back to Nigeria. And recently I spoke with her on Facebook and I said, how was that then? He said, Sister Bola, it's been thing of the past since that time. God's word is massive. More powerful than you think. I want you to give more attention and focus to it. Allow God's word to take over your life and my life. Because this month, God is set to do amazing things in your life, but sanctify yourself. And how do you do that? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Rise to your feet. Everything that is contrary to the word of God is a lie. If God's word is the truth, even facts are lies because they are not the truth. So I wanted to begin to pray for yourself tonight. I don't know what the devil is lying to you about. I don't know what your circumstances are lying to you about. For some people, their circumstances lie to them about their finances. It's only the fifth of the month and the salary is gone. And you are so scared, you don't know what to do with yourself. But the Bible says, sanctify them by your word, your truth. Your word is true. God's word is true. God's word is true. So maybe you're asking yourself, where will I get money to come for the services? Where will I get money to travel in the train? Where will I get money from to pay my tithe? Where would I, whatever it is. I want you to pray for yourself tonight that the truth of God's word will sanctify you this month in the name of Jesus. That God Almighty himself will break every single yoke and limitation. Anything that will stand in the way of God visiting you this month, pray for yourself that it will not stand in the name of Jesus. That is the only condition. God wants to visit, he will visit. Yeah, I started visiting some people. There's been some outstanding testimonies we've heard in the last 3 days. Outstanding. Why not you? I want you to pray for yourself that that will be your story. In the name of Jesus. Nothing will hold you back from experiencing God in every area of your life. Be it in your emotional life, your marital life, your financial life, your job, your person, your spiritual life. In every area of your life that God will visit you. But ask God for grace to sanctify yourself by his word. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.